Welcome to Your Odyssey Podcast, where your guides, Tara and Karen, invite you on a transformative journey toward wholeness and personal growth. Each week, we'll discuss topics related to the human experience and offer insights to help you along the way. Please note, this podcast should not replace medical care or advice. We are not licensed healthcare professionals or mental health therapists. If you enjoyed today's episode, subscribe so you don't miss out on our future discussions. So, explorers, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome, explorers, to today's episode, second in a series on social wellness. And today we are talking about social wellness and caregiving. Y'all, I have been so excited for this episode. Okay, we're ready.
I just want to say, I don't know if I'm ready, but I hope y'all are ready. And I know Tara is ready. I know it. She's so excited. She barely sits still.
Right. I had to change seats because the other seat was squeaking. Yeah. Here we are. By way of introduction to this episode, I wanted to level set on what I mean when I say caregiver. So a caregiver is a family member, a friend, or a professional that is a beacon of resilience. They provide assistance and support to individuals dealing with illness, disability, or the challenges of aging. Caregivers play a crucial role in meeting the various needs of care recipients.
Can I get a caregiver for the caregiver?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, we will get you some caregiving. I like that definition. I'm like, please. I would like one of those.
As I often do, I went down the research frenzy because I was so very excited for this episode. It was a research frenzy, and I stumbled across a whole bunch of stats. I found a report that comes out roughly every 5 years, the AARP and NAC, which is the National Alliance for Caregiving.
Didn't know there was one of those.
This report, so it's Caregiving in the U.S. 2020.
Okay, got it. Oh boy.
From 2015 to 2020. The number of Americans providing unpaid care increased from 43.5 million in 2015 to 53 million folks.
If I'm doing the math, that's 10 million more. In 5 years.
Nearly one in five adults are providing unpaid care to an adult with a health or a functional need.
Wow. Is that by virtue of the fact that people are living longer?
Yes.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Right. The rest of these stats I'm going to throw out is in relation to that one in five. More Americans are caring for someone with Alzheimer's disease or dementia at 26% in 2020. And of today's family caregivers, 61% are women.
I'm actually surprised that it's almost even. So that's interesting. That's a kind of an interesting, cool stat to hear.
Yes. And 61% of today's family caregivers work outside of the home.
Mm-hmm. I'm feeling the major pull, the tug of war of all the things.
Which brings me to the link between social wellness and caregiving. We, as support networks for our caregivers, need to be willing to provide support and assistance because caregiving can significantly impact one's social well-being.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I feel that.
Caregivers may experience changes in their social interactions and relationships as they prioritize the needs of their loved ones.
It's a slippery slope because we know how important self-care is.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have this emerging, possibly critical or acute situation that needs addressing. And we immediately put ourselves on the back burner. I haven't been able to take a deep breath for the last 2 weeks, like a real honest to goodness deep breath without feeling like there's not an anvil on my chest. So
Karen says the last 2 weeks because her role in caregiving shifted quite suddenly.
I'm in the sandwich, my friends.
In the sandwich. This shift in the caregiver's social roles, routines, and activities
we have to remember and be mindful of the need for a supportive community for not just the caregivers, but the care recipients. That way, it's not all on the primary caregiver.
Yeah. Expand the network, expand the tribe, expand the group. Reach out to neighbors, people in their community, like churches, and just wherever you can get the support.
Wherever you can get the support and
like,
help.
Holy cow. Yes. Ask me if I'm doing that, though.
I mean, you're doing it a little bit right now. We hang out. I see you.
Yeah. I feel very emotionally supported. And I know if I needed something physically, you would, in a heartbeat, you would
right
be there.
Right there.
I know it.
Caregiving can have a big impact on the well-being of caregivers. Those caregiving responsibilities can lead to social isolation, less time caring for oneself, and fewer chances to have personal social interactions.
It's less fun, friends. I'm not laughing as much right now. I'm trying to laugh. I'm trying to dance. But yeah, I could totally see that. The scales just tip and some like a different paradigm takes place. And things like going for a walk in nature and the things that you just do every day and go to are just all of a sudden they're threatened to be off the list.
Our caregivers need extra support because of the demands of their role. As Karen said, it's not fun. And that not fun just to me sounds like the experience of increased emotional stress.
I'm a ticking time bomb. You know, I walked in here tonight and I was like, if you hug me, I'm going to cry.
It's going to be it. And crying is definitely allowed. So recognizing these challenges, the emotional stress, the shift in social interactions, us in their support network need to be mindful of actually reaching out.
That would be lovely. That would be so nice, everyone. Reach out to someone you know who's caregiving. I can't even tell you what it means the world.
Okay. So if we integrate...
No.
You have to... This is your life. I am an observer.
I walked out to my neighbors the other night. Two of them were talking in the street and I walked up and they're like, oh, you look really chill. I was like, do I? Because it's actually exhaustion. And I came over here to get a hug from each of you, damn it. Because that's what I need right now. And that's what I'm going to ask for.
And you asked for what you needed.
And they did it. And it was very sweet.
And it didn't cost them
zero.
And being there doesn't mean you have to do anything. Just let me breathe for just a second.
Just hold my hand. Mm-hmm. Just want to feel somebody there, you know?
Yeah. Mm. Integrating social wellness practices into caregiving benefits not only the caregiver, but also the care recipient. Caregivers are nurturing their social connections by organizing regular family gatherings or virtual meetups. And also, one recommendation that I'm going to give to my sister Karen right now is joining a caregiver support group.
I already called them. I called them and emailed them yesterday. And I was like, I'm going to need some help. I'm going to need to know what everybody else is doing about this.
What is everyone else doing? Being in community with people who are walking the walk you are going through right now. Because you know what? You're not alone.
And
I mean,
yeah.
52.9 other Americans are doing the exact same thing you're doing.
And specifically that Alzheimer's rate.
26%.
That feels like epidemic proportions. There's so much more Alzheimer's and dementia diagnosis now. And I don't know if that's related to the fact that people are living longer or if there's something in the water.
People are living longer factors
Ooh.
Into it.
You're going to hear me take those deep breaths throughout this entire episode.
Take all of what you need.
Maybe somebody out there is breathing with me. Maybe they're like, yeah, that's exactly what I need to do.
That's what it feels
take
like.
Take a moment.
Care recipients, if they are able, can engage in activities they enjoy, such as reading, gardening, or watching movies together. This contributes to their emotional and mental well-being as well. Caregiver, care recipient, what are the things that make you happy? What are the things that remind you that you're in community with other people, that it's not just you?
It's important to think about. It's tricky, though, when the person you're caregiving for kind of doesn't think they want or need other people to be around or to witness their struggles.
Mm-hmm.
That's the piece I'm having a hard time with, because I can't and don't want to be there 100% and be the only social interaction and connection and source of joy. And so that's, we got to figure out some other options.
Okay. In an ideal state, what would that look like for you?
I would love for there to be some part-time care in the home every day. And I would love for my mom to, you know, reach out to neighbors and do some social things once in a while, which she's really withdrawn from. And so, I don't know, even having to manage that, like if she won't ask or do, then do I spend hours calling other people in her neighborhood to say, hey, can you reach out to my mom and see if... I'm tired. I know that sounds really selfish, but I'm tired. I'm just trying to get through each day. And I've got a kid at home and a full-time job. I just need more people. I need more hands. I need more interaction. I need more people willing to do social outings. And that's why I think my next step is we have a caregiver in the home, somebody that is a built-in social interaction, but that can also help with things at the house or taking her to go grocery shopping and all the things to have some sense of normalcy that literally I cannot do unless I quit my job, in which case I would have no income. And as a single parent, that's not an option.
It's not realistic or feasible.
Yeah.
As I think about the number of people that are caregivers, I don't know if our society supports that. Like, we already have a struggle for people who are parents and trying to juggle full-time jobs. But what happens when you're in the sandwich? You have kids and you have parents. There should be something, policies. I don't know. Here are the social support services available to you. Here's a list of caregiver support groups. Here are counseling services. There's more we can do because we are all a part of making this experience the best experience possible for everyone. Like, we're not just responsible for ourselves.
Right. And our culture can be so isolating at times. We don't grow up in those communities, like the co-op kind of communities. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Unless you intentionally decide to do that. We're all like in the house. You're in the house with your nuclear family and then the next person.
And that's it. Yeah.
For us, we got some information from the doctor who gave us the diagnosis about the support groups, but I have no idea what's really out there for her in terms of outside help and opportunities. And are there places that she could go? I just don't know in terms of social engagement besides the people she knows at her church or in her neighborhood. Would she go to a senior center? I think she wouldn't. But that would be just such great social engagement.
Yeah. That's a challenge when the person that you're caring for is more of a self-isolator. Mm. Like, how do you build that muscle for them, spoon feed them?
Oh, right.
Here's a new person that's going to come in and sit with you for a few hours.
Right. Like, why don't you try that? There's part of me that thinks her having moved out of the state where she was near all her siblings and two of my other siblings, I just wonder, should she have stayed up there? Would she feel more connected? I mean, yeah, the answer is yes, she probably would. And so that's another thought or option, but I can't imagine moving her again. That's not the best option either.
As a society, advocating for caregiver rights, what that looks like, I'm not sure. Is it flexible work hours? Or, I mean, what was it? 61% of caregivers still work outside the home.
There's times where I'm like, well, I'm going to have to do this thing. And I'm lucky to have flexibility and have a very understanding group of people that I work with. And I don't know how people do it where there's no flexibility or the pressure is to just completely perform and dole out results and there's not really any time. And then you're fitting that all in on the 3 hours after work that you have before you collapse into your bed.
Right.
Like, I realize in the scheme of things, I probably have it pretty good and I'm still foxing exhausted.
When I am exhausted and at my wit's end, I say I am being held together by tape and glue and I'm all out of both.
Oh yeah,
that's it.
That's it.
I usually just go take a nap, several naps.
The well is dry.
This is what we're doing. We are rebuilding and restoring my mind, body, and soul.
That's really funny that you say that because I've taken 3 significant naps in this past week. Historically, I'm a napper. I love a good nap. I love a good 15-20 minute power nap. But I have been like, my body's been like, oh no, you're sleeping and seen.
I did see a stat about how regularly napping lowers your risk for dementia. So y'all take your naps.
Oh, I'm gonna keep napping.
Because there's something in that process. I don't gotta think about what the next thing is. We just gotta breathe and keep this heart pumping. That's it.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. So yes, please take your nap.
All the research I see.
If you needed a reason to support naps.
That's it.
As our population ages, Gen Z is actually coming up in the caregiving. So there are a lot of student caregivers now, like children who have the responsibility of caring for either a sibling or a parent in the home.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Nearly, I think right now, 2020, they were just becoming old enough. 6% of those caregivers are Gen Z, so born in 1997 or after.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Oh, wow.
That's I could not imagine navigating the challenges of early adulthood and your teenage years trying to get to graduation while also caring for a sibling or a parent.
Oh my goodness.
With different needs.
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah, but they're doing it. They are. And I'm like, well, who is helping them?
It's going to be a cost. At some point,
absolutely.
Person is going to burn out, whatever, going to need all kinds of things and should be getting support now also.
Even before I knew we were going to do this episode, I read an article specifically about younger caregivers and absenteeism. As you said, exhaustion is a very real thing when you are a caregiver. Oh, yeah. Can you combine exhaustion with studying for finals or doing your homework?
Yeah, that's just a recipe for disaster.
But it comes back to raising awareness, offering support services, reaching out to the people, you know, hey, I haven't seen such and such in a while. Well, they might have fallen into a caregiver hole. And when you're in there, I imagine it's hard to reach out because you are just trying to hold on.
Yeah, it's like you're on this roller coaster and you cannot look around. You're just like, I am focused.
Strapped
on,
in.
Yeah, I'm strapped
just
in.
Just to the
I'm
next.
Just, yeah, get me to the next whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When we promote social wellness, it's a win-win for a caregiver, care recipient, and the support network. We are creating a positive and nurturing dynamic, reducing social isolation, and just enhancing overall well-being for the caregiver and the care recipient. You guys are not alone.
You sure?
I mean, you alone, but not lonely. There's a difference.
Yeah.
Mm. I imagine that there is is it self-fulfilling when you're like, well, I'm in this alone, which leads to burnoutville, which leads to isolation, which leads to just breakdown.
Yeah, right.
What would support look like for you outside of what you already mentioned being professional services?
Well, my siblings are really involved and they're really stepping up and helping. So it's not, I mean, I just talked to one of my students today. She's an only child caring for a mother who's almost 100.
And wow.
Not in her home because this woman is still fairly independent.
And that's our goals.
Goals, okay. Yeah. Centenarian? Isn't that what it is? Centenarian? 100?
We'll anyway. Go with that, yep.
Okay, we'll go with that. It's incredible to me. I've got three siblings that are, if nothing else, shouldering some of the emotional burden, a lot of the physical and caregiving pieces when they're available and around.
Right.
And it's really my job to trust that things are going to be handled even if I'm not on duty.
You being a helicopter caregiver?
I'm not this time.
Okay.
But I did last time. We had an incident and it just about did me in. So I'm aware that I can't do that this time. And I'm also aware that there are certain expectations because it's what I usually do. I'm being real careful about asking for help, reaching out, and also telling my mother, I can't be there tomorrow.
Mm.
I can't be there until Saturday or whatever it is. And it's just going to have to be okay.
Setting your boundaries and sticking to them. I love that for you. When you said your siblings are helping shoulder the load, what popped in my mind is, you know, like when you're talking with your siblings and your parent does something and you say, do you know what your mother did? I imagine that's how you guys are also like lightening the load and laughing about it, finding some joy in that, in this challenging time. Like, your mother said blah blah blah. Yeah. Your mother did.
We have a text string happening and sometimes it gets real heavy and sometimes it's like I cannot believe I just had this conversation with your mother. Do you know what she said? Because the insanity of it is just sometimes
right,
and the ridiculousity is just like, you gotta laugh at that. You gotta
you
be like,
you have to find joy.
Ridiculous, you know.
You have to find joy.
Yeah.
Okay, there is this ginormous report, caregiving in the U.S. 2020 report by the
NAC
mm-hmm. and AARP. AARP actually has a giant caregiving resource library. The NAC has a ton of resources, and also the NIH, for the National Institute of Aging portion.
Oh, okay, interesting.
So there's a ton of stuff, a lot of reading, you know, Karen, in all of your spare time.
Oh yeah, I love nothing more than to read that. All of these, or I'm just gonna go to a support group.
Yeah. Give me the things.
Yeah.
Give
me whatever. I'm like, you guys have done this. Why can't you just give me give me the footnotes?
Let me know how this goes.
Yeah. Give me the most important pieces. Like, just give me bullet points. That's what I want.
Oh,
I want the bullet
yes.
points.
Cliff's Notes version of
exactly.
Caregiving 2024, please. Thank
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'll take that. Oh my gosh. Okay. I've done a lot of talking, and I know this is at the end of a very long day for you.
It's been a while.
It's been a day. So rather than continuing prattling on, let's get in our bodies.
Do we get to dance now?
Dance and cry and scream and whatever else it is that you want to do as we transition to our song.
I love it.
This song, I want to say, a little birdie told me. This song is by Birdie, and the song is Keeping Your Head Up.
And I want to make sure that people know that several people have said to me, I don't have a Spotify, you know, subscription. And, you know, you can find these songs on our Spotify playlist, but you can also find them on YouTube Music. So just make sure you're dancing to the songs with us, because that's really, really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go.
Check out this week's song on the Yo Podcast playlist on Spotify.
I feel that is a great song for friends and community support of the caregiver to say to the caregiver, you know. It's also the caregiver to the care recipient, but for me, it just felt a little more like, I know how much you're giving and how hard you're working and how hard this is, and I'm here to hold you up until you can sort of breathe and stand and walk on your own.
Amen. Absolutely.
Man. That was like a little salve for the soul right there.
Mm-hmm. So, until you can breathe again. I got you.
Yeah.
That was a nice little mellow, soul soothing.
Yeah, it was very soothing and very soul filling. I felt like at some point I was flying.
I think we did fly around the studio.
Right?
We did a little bit.
There was a little bit of something happening. There was an etheric, like,
yes,
out of body something that happened.
Explorers, you know what time it is.
I love this woman so much. I want to say that out loud here on this. I love her.
If y'all ain't know, we love each other.
We do.
This is going to be easy. Okay. I mean, the heavy stuff is all at the beginning. This QOTD.
Okay.
What are some strategies for caregivers to prevent burnout and maintain social connections? Easy. Recommendation number one, build and or maintain a support network. So if there are the moments that you just want to scream, vent, cry, whatever it is, reach out to your people. Be
yeah.
it your friends, your family, a support group, mm-hmm. other community resources to share experiences, seek advice, and find encouragement. Encouragement to reduce the feelings of isolation and provide a platform for emotional support, because this is heavy.
Encouragement, I think if we break that down, that doesn't mean like filling someone's heart. Encourage, like the core means heart, right? So
mm-hmm.
it's like giving someone like it's almost like you're loaning them some stamina, like the little psh,
yes,
know, just filled with gas tank.
Only got two. Number two, caregivers must prioritize self-care and seek respite, which refers to taking a break from their caregiving responsibilities. So social activities, spend time, quality time with your friends and family, or pursue personal hobbies. So art, sing, write, whatever, get out in nature. This respite is crucial to prevent burnout and also maintain social connections. This gives caregivers a chance to recharge and care for their needs.
Yeah, and you know what? It's so interesting because it's not easy. I am someone who I would say has a PhD in self-care. And I'm still like, should I take that walk? You know, I could be, you know, XYZ. And just like unplugging, it's probably why I haven't been able to take a deep breath. It's like I'm nursing this like shoulder. What is happening in my shoulder?
PhD in gratitude and things of that nature. And she also levitates yoga-ing.
And I'm still struggling. I'm still struggling with the... what can I give to myself and what can I sacrifice so that I can be there, so I can go the extra mile or do that thing? So it's interesting. And I think the emotional boundary setting I've been doing really well at overall. And it's, I think, is a really important facet of it, that we caregivers give ourselves permission to not have to be there all the time and to not have to do all the things and to just take time for ourselves. Rest.
Oh my goodness.
Just sleep. Oh my God. Just sleep.
Just sleep.
Call up your friends and be like, can we all sleep? Let's just all sleep.
Sleep over. That's all. We're just going to sleep. That's all we need. Yeah. Remember to take those breaks from caregiving. I know it sounds, when you're in it, impossible. But what you get when you take that 3 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever, just for yourself to do nothing, to be responsible for nothing other than breathing, it's going to pay back dividends. Trust me.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, I had two really kind of like, three-ish, because
those respite. Are great, and they didn't make me cry, and you didn't make me answer it. Great.
Here we are. We've been on this journey talking about caring for the caregiver, caring for the care recipient, and social wellness. So, to wrap up, it's really, really important to caregivers and care recipients to prevent burnout and maintain social connections by building their support network, prioritizing self-care, and seeking respite. The intersection of social wellness and caregiving emphasizes the importance of nurturing relationships and building a supportive community for caregivers and care recipients. Society can better support caregivers by recognizing their role, implementing supportive measures, and fostering a culture of appreciation and support, and sprinkling a little bit of encouragement. I love this quote.
Is it by someone famous?
I didn't know this person until I was researching. Today's quote is from Tia Walker, who is co-author of The Inspired Caregiver, Finding Joy While Caring for Those You Love. Tia says, caregiving often causes us to lean into love we didn't know possible. I didn't break you with the QOTD.
Yeah. I just wish I had an unending well, you know, for her. Because I know and I feel all the support of my people. I do. But I know my well, there's a finite volume, and I wish it could be an ocean. I wish it could be everything, you know. So it's hard that it's not.
Explorers, I invite you to reach out to those in your network who are caregivers and just lean into the love for them so they can continue to lean into the love they didn't know possible for those care recipients. Mm-hmm. Caregivers, as Birdie said, keep your head up.
Wow, that was so beautifully said. And it's giving me a new level of understanding for if people I'm working with or encountering are caregivers, because it's a real whole other level of job. And it's not just the physicalness of it. Mm-hmm. There's just the emotional and mental strain that goes along with it. And so I'm just going to be more aware of being kind and supportive to others and just appreciate the love and support that I feel from my people. Thank you for this. Thanks, Tara. This is good.
Explorers, we're so glad you could join us.
Thanks for being here. Take good care, everyone. Thank you to Queenie's in downtown Durham for the use of their community podcast studio and for welcoming us so warmly each week. We'd like to give a shout out to Coco Cinnamon, the birthplace of 1023 Media and the Yo Podcast. Please support your local, women-owned, minority-owned coffee shop in downtown Durham. Brought to you by Durham-based 1023 Media, a heart-centered, woman-owned multimedia company.